I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Doctor 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth and climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nicolaius and Mage Death. So it is New Year's Eve right now, and everyone's got places to be, so we're going to do a quick episode. So Mage, hit us with last week's poll question. Go.
Sure. Do you think Necrium Apothecary should have been nerfed with the shaman changes implemented last week? Was the poll question. We had 29 votes, and with 55.2%, the answer is no. We do not think that should have been changed. So I don't know. I think they're with Dean Ayala, Ixar, when he said that there probably needs to be more looked at. There was definitely some comments saying it's a powerful card, but it relies on other cards in order to be powerful and does give you some counterplay. So a lot of the things that we talked a little bit about when we talked about it. But 55.2 said no, 44.8 said yes. So there is still a fair number of people who think that it should have been looked at and possibly changed. But
I assume those 44% have had someone equip a Necrium Dagger on turn 3 and then coin out the Necrium Apothecary on turn 4 into a charger. So, like, yeah, that's like the nuts feels bad. But if you get a chance to actually silence it or answer it before it goes off, I feel like it's more fair of a card. So,
I mean, the entire deck is pretty much trash except for that one card. And if you don't draw it, the deck doesn't really do anything. So,
I
don't like decks like that, honestly, but I don't think it should be nerfed.
Yep.
The Vicious Syndicate report, which we're going to be talking about in just a minute, was talking about this particular deck and this particular card and basically said, if you play Death Rattle Rogue, you hard mulligan for the Necrium Apothecary. You don't keep one drops because Necrium Apothecary is that important. They said you will increase your win rate with the deck if you hard mulligan and toss everything except for the Necrium Apothecary.
Yeah, I would agree 100% with that. So, yep. Let's move on into the news. Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper Report 149 has been published. So, our highlights are, first off, Rogue is the most played class at all ranks, followed by Hunter and Warrior. I feel like Warrior should be up there more, just because Galakrond Warrior is so stupid good. It's a lot of fun too.
I think Death Rattle Rogue was kind of discovered before the balance changes and like kind of grew a following. And it's an extremely basic deck to play.
Like that's
you
said, fair.
There's no decision making. It's finding the Necrium Apothecary. So it's much easier to play as opposed to Hunter and Warrior. I mean, Face Hunter is pretty easy to play as well, but
yeah,
definitely easier than Warrior.
So then actually, I say that, and then obviously I knew that this was coming, that Warrior's the most popular class at the ranks between 4 and 1. Warrior looks like the strongest class in the game, and Galakrond Warrior looks like the best deck in the game, and it's still in the deep in the process of refinement. So, like, the deck is just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, I played on stream 3 nights, 3 different versions of Galakrond Warrior last week. Yes. And each were a little bit different. And I was better than a 50% win rate with each one of them. So it's a very good deck. And, you know, the cards, there's a core set of about 20 cards in that deck, and then it's that other 10 and how you go about, do you do a combo package with like Leroy, or do you do like a kind of a bigger minion package to really leverage the battle cry from your Galakrond, or do you add some additional smaller minions to potentially help you in dealing with some of the aggro decks, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with it, and so it's going to be interesting to see what ultimately ends up being the best version. But it feels hard to argue that Galakrond Warrior might not be the best deck in the game right now, because it's pretty good right now, and there's still a lot of different ways you can go with it.
I agree 100%, which I think makes it great, is that you have your 20 core cards, and then you can adjust to the meta around you. And if you're seeing a lot of Death Rattle Rogues, maybe you throw in a couple of Silences. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, put in Armor Smiths for those Face Hunters. If you're going for the super value with the Scion, you have Barista and Dragon Braider. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways that you can, and you can mix and match them as well. It's like, yeah, it's extremely, extremely strong.
Yeah.
There's like packages of 3 to 5, maybe 6 cards. So you can almost put like two of those in, depending on what cards you're using.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing really defines greed like Barista Lynchin.
Yes.
I actually think that's core in, like, whatever version you're playing.
Okay.
Just because, like, on turn 8, you get three twos with Thrush, and then you add 3 more to your hand, and it's basically, like, you don't get the board for, like, the next 3 turns.
Yeah, yeah, it's Scion. Really good with the Scions. Like, that's...
The Scion is probably, if not the best card in that deck, it's like one of the top 3 cards in the deck, outside of maybe Galakrond itself. So being able to get additional copies of it is really powerful. And as we saw with Rush Minions that allow you to control the board, hey, they're pretty good. Even as 3/2s, they're pretty good. The fact that you get 3 of them.
I was going to say, that's 9/6 worth of stats for 3 mana. Beat me.
pretty solid.
Exactly. So Galakrond Shaman's win rate has dropped to manageable levels now. But Spirit of the Frog and a package of spells may change that. So, I mean, Spirit of the Frog is just stupid good. And really, it's the only spirit still seeing play. Really, the only two that ever really saw play were of the dead, or of the shark and frog. I mean, there was a little bit of experimentation in Rostakon's Rumble, but not since, really. Like, it's shark, it's frog. All of them the rest of them are pretty trashy. So.
It continues that Spirit of the Frog is just, that continues to be a way to just draw through your deck, which then, you know, grabs you cards that you might be looking for, whether it be the Dragon's Pact or you know, it helps you find maybe the hex that you need if you're running Zentimo, you know, or even like, I'm going to start out with the Invocation of Frost, and then I get my heal, the Witch's Brew.
Yep.
And then I find, you know, the 3 cost, the haunted visions. And so it just kind of goes right through there. And so you then also thin out your deck so that you find your Galakrond, you find your Evokes, you find your the good minions that you actually want to find as well.
So can I go on a quick tear here real quick? Why doesn't Witch's Brew have Echo? Like, it is an Echo card.
Because they don't want to have that keyword in any expansion other than Witchwood. I don't know what it is, but it is their design philosophy that even if it has the same effect, you can only have that keyword in that expansion.
That is literally the dumbest thing. Unless it
like, really takes off, and then like Rush does, and then they decided it's like core to the game, and then they can put it on whatever.
Yeah, Rush is all of a sudden, like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, or it's something like Snipsnap, which they just throw in.
Yeah.
There is no good reason to your question. There isn't a good reason there.
So I'm going to be... That annoys me a lot. Like, and the stupid Evolve effect from the old one, but that was pre-Witchwood, so I'll let that.
It's also this weird interaction now because they changed it so that Echo cannot cost less than one.
Yeah.
To like deal with the Snip Snap Warlock in Wild, but I can't remember what it's called, like Evolving Mutation or something like that.
Yeah.
Unstable Mutation, whatever. The one cost shaman spell that.
Unstable Evolution.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Like, that doesn't have Echo. That will still cost zero if you get a Sorcerer's or a Radiant Elemental, so.
Yeah, but you have to get something like that. That's not something you can pack in your deck.
I know, but I'm just saying that.
Yeah, no,
you have the possibility to hyper roll on that kind of thing, which I think is kind of stupid. But
it is stupid, but I think it also lines up with their design philosophy, because it's like, oh, if that happens, then, you know, it's like, ho, 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 it's random, it's fun, ha, 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 ha. Watch your opponent enrage. That's
those crazy moments they're talking about.
Exactly. All right, sorry about that tangent. But I apologize. The meta at the top levels is looking fairly balanced so far, which is encouraging to see, but balance doesn't exist in the lore of this expansion. In the battle between good and evil, evil's kicking good's ass. So I would agree, just because Galakrond is the man, and he's just laying the smackdown in the League of Explorers. He's like the god dragon, just like kicking Bran's teeth in. Punching Reno Jackson while he's down.
Yeah, he's been everything I think the League of Evil was hoping for when they're like, hey, we should awaken this big dragon to help us kick the League of Explorers' butts. And so it looks like he's doing just that.
He's lighting them up, as they say.
Yes.
So, yeah, it doesn't look good for the League of Explorers, but we'll see what the expansion has to bring. Not the expansion, but the adventure. There's how many cards coming with that?
35.
So we'll see. Another big point, Amnesiac is retiring from Hearthstone. Kind of a sad day. He's always a very fun player to watch. And he posted his statement on Twitlonger, and I will link it when I post the episode tomorrow night. So, and
yeah, very well written. He thanked a lot of people that he's played with and against over the since he started in 2014, and it's sad to see someone as talented as him decide that they're going to pursue other things.
Yeah, it's very classy. Very classy from the young savage. So we'll wish him good luck in his future endeavors. I assume college plays a part in this too. Yeah, so
I would imagine.
So hopefully whatever he does, I'm sure he'll find success. So good luck to him. And then finally, Dame Hazelbark bundle is leaving January 6th. So you got about a week left to get in on some Dame Hazelbark if you want it. So, all right, and that wraps up our news segment. Topic, let's talk about Galakrond. Why is he winning the battle of good versus evil? So let's start out with, why is Galakrond so good? I mean, pretty simple question to ask. Why is this hero portrait, these five heroes, so good?
Well, okay, so let's rephrase that a little bit. Yeah. The priest one is still trash. Don't.
Okay, yes. I think it's implied, but priest fans.
Yeah, don't. That one, I think most people saw as bad. It is bad. Don't play it, please. Mm-hmm. It's one of the worst decks in the game right now. But as far as the other ones, they all kind of have their... I think one of the big things is the invoke cards are all reasonably powerful. Whether you're putting... So I don't think the Warlock one is that strong. I think it's like mediocre, but putting two 1/1s on the field is fine. Having a 2-1 with rush is strong. Getting plus 3 attack is strong. Getting a lackey is strong. Like that. The invoke cards are, don't have as high a cost to them as, you know, you might think. When you're trying to like put these cards into your deck to like, for this one card, like I remember C'Thun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the best card you got was a 3-mana 2/1 that dealt 2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else. Was a 2-mana 2/3. There was a 4-mana 4/2.
Divine like Shield, too.
Yeah.
The 4/2 Divine Shield, yeah.
There was, like, a 7-mana 1. There was a 1/4 for 2 with Taunt. Like, most of them weren't great. They were just, like, not trash, I guess I would say. And that was one of the reasons, I think, why C'Thun started to drop off play very quickly. You know, playing essentially vanilla minions just isn't good enough. Whereas these are definitely not. These are very powerful cards. And then you add on top of that the swing turn that playing Galakrorn just provides you, and then having that invoke for the rest of the game.
Yes, for sure. So, I mean, it's... And you're getting value in things that you want to do. So like Warrior, you get +3 attack every time you invoke Galakrorn. So you can do like the crazed lunatic or the devoted lunatic, like
you maniac.
God, I keep thinking lunatic, but it's maniac, I know. Anytime you do anything with him, like in your Warrior, you can swing for 5. Like you can do affect the bard with 5 damage, or you can put some damage face. Like the 2/2 rush and getting a lackey, getting a 2/1, getting +3 attack, it's just, it's really good. So, and I would agree that the warlock one's kind of mediocre, but I mean, sea giants still exist, and there's a lot of cards to buff up a bunch of small minions, so Zoo Warlock's still a thing, and it's not exactly a high level. It doesn't do great in the highest levels, but it still does fairly well on just regular standard rank ladder, just because it's still a rushdown deck. So
I think the Galakrorn cards themselves are actually well designed from the standpoint of they help you do something that class was already kind of good at doing anyway, or that you would want to do anyway with that deck or with that class. It feels like the way they're set up, I mean, like the Warlock one, it allowing you to put additional minions on the board played into a strength that Warlock already had. The zoo archetype was something that was already kind of inbred into the Warlock toolkit, and so it had tools that would help with that. And then the hero power that is with that Galakrorn, and the fact that you get that every time you invoke, in addition to that, just, you know, powering up the Galakrorn for when you do play it, and it ends up kind of just synergizing real well, where it felt like C'Thun was this kind of neutral minion, and you were throwing neutral cards in there, and you kind of just had to shoehorn these things into the deck, and suddenly it was a C'Thun deck that just happened to be a Warrior deck, or it just happened to be, you know, some other class. Whereas these, you know, I think it almost feels a little bit like it is a Warrior deck first, but then there's this win condition of Galakrorn that allows you to do something with it. Or in the case of like Rogue, where, you know, we're seeing now that this Death Rattle package is coming in with Galakrond, so it's like this hybrid thing, so it's like allowing you to do it's just like an alternate win condition or kind of a side win, second win condition to something that you're already trying to do anyway, because the stuff just sort of fits into what you were trying to do anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So, next question. Is Galakrond pushing decks out of the meta?
Well, Shaman was. Yes. Shaman definitely was, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it is. I feel like it's strong enough and powerful enough that it's pushing decks out of the meta. It does a lot of different things. And like you said, there are things that the class already kind of wanted to do anyways, so giving an ability to continue on that path is just powerful.
Yeah, I don't know that I could specifically say that X deck is not playable now because of Galakrond, because it feels like a lot of the effort in deck building since the expansion went live has been to the Galakrond decks. And it started there, and it has just kind of stayed there, right? Because that effect has been so powerful. There's been experimentation done. I know there was people playing in Biggin Druid and some different, you know, different things like Pure Paladin, I think, is seeing a little bit of play, you know, people experimenting with those things. But, you know, ultimately, I don't know that those decks are seeing much play because those Galakrond decks are so powerful, and because there's inevitability like C'Thun had, where as soon as they find their Galakrond, there's this just giant swing turn coming, and there's just other things that you could be doing in those decks that kind of push things out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like no matter what you would do in the meta, that the good stuff's going to push out some of the other stuff. It's just a nature of the beast that rock beats paper, or rock beats scissors, scissors beats paper. You know, it comes down. I'm overly simplifying it, but
right.
Yeah. So, do you have something you wanted to add, Nicholas?
Not really. I mean, I don't think that something like Pure Paladin would be meta without Galakrond anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the strongest decks will push out the weaker decks. Like, that's just how it is.
Yep.
You know, we saw a huge rise in Face Hunter, and it's kind of dipped down a little bit because Galakrond Warrior has a fantastic matchup against it. And in that same vein, Resurrect Priest is one of the best counters to Galakrond Warrior, and that's suddenly become meta. So it's pushing decks out, and at the same time, it's bringing other ones in. So,
yeah, it's just the nature of the beast. So, what does the League of Explorers need to do to get back into this fight? Because as of right now, they're not making it out of round one.
I just think it's absolutely hilarious that the best Highlander decks are not any of the hero ones.
Yeah.
Highlander Druid doesn't exist. Highlander Mage is like tier 3 at best. It's maybe even tier 4. Highlander Paladin doesn't exist. Highlander Hunter is like the only one that you can actually play on ladder, but like it's still behind, you know, Galakrond, yeah. Highlander Rogue is ahead of that, you know.
Well, Zephyrus is a heck of a card.
Zephyrus and Dragon Queen Alexstrasza.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, yeah.
The rich didn't need to get richer. I mean, you already had Rogue that was pretty good and had a lot of different options. So that it's like, oh yeah, we could throw Zephyrus, Dragon Queen into this, and they can get a really good Highlander deck on top of everything else.
Yeah, yeah, the strength of Alexstrasza is stupid. That card is just, I don't know, it's so, if you're running a Highlander deck, the card is just so powerful. It's not even funny. It's
a one card win condition.
Yep, it certainly is. If your opponent doesn't have a way to deal with it, then we'll see you next week, guys. It's just really, really, it does not feel good. So, did you want to... Go ahead, Nicholas.
So, I think that relating to this question, whereas the League of Evil got the Invoke cards, which have been, you know, they're pretty good, but just by themselves, the League of Explorers got side quests. Mm-hmm. And I already rated almost every single side quest like one star because I thought they were all trash. I think I had like one of them 3-star and one of them 2-star or something.
I think it was the mage quest, the one that drew 3 spells.
Yeah.
I think that's the one you gave 3 stars.
Yeah, and I think I gave Clear the Way, the Hunter Rush one, 2 stars. Mm-hmm. None of them are seeing play.
Yeah.
The only side quest that is seeing play is the Hunter, Toxic Reinforcements. That's it. Like, and surprise, surprise, Face Hunter is the best Hunter deck right now. So they completely missed the power level of the side quest trying to keep, like, the Invoke cards just completely blow the side quest out of the water.
I don't even remotely understand how they could have looked at those side quests and went, these will see play. These wait till they see these side quests, guys.
Yeah, them not starting in your opening hand is a huge freaking deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't really overstate or understate how important it is to get, you know, especially like Toxic Reinforcements. You want that to be played on turn one. Like every single game. Most of the side quests you do want to be playing like right away. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can't unless you're hard mulliganing them for them, which you probably shouldn't, like, it's just not going to happen very consistently.
It's not good. I can't, like, when we first saw them, I think everyone was kind of on board that, like, the concept's cool, but the execution is just extremely poor.
Unlike the Invoke cards where you get that, not only the, like, whatever, like, most of the Invoke cards feel like they affect the board in some way, whether you're you've got a minion, and like the maniac ends up having being Rush, and like, you know, some of like the shaman actual hero power ends up having Rush, the like Awaken ends up doing 1 damage to the entire board. It just, there's not enough impact, and it just takes too darn long to Nikolai's point. The fact that you can't guarantee that you're going to have it to play right away,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it just doesn't do enough the turn you do actually play it. I mean, if it was triggering your hero power as well, I mean, that would be something, but even then, it's still not enough, because you're not, it's not helping it's not helping like this bigger thing happening, whereas like, because you're playing the Invoke cards, you're making the Scalacron bigger. Because you're playing the side quest, that means you're queuing up to potentially get something in the future that may or may not help you.
So one way I was kind of thinking about, if you just look back at the history of quests, generally the quests that have been playable have been things that give you something from then on out, like Quest Rogue. I will say that like, there was Quest Priest, the original Death Rattle Quest Priest, set your life to 40. You got an 88, but it set your life to 40. Carnessa added 15 3-2 Raptors. Barnabas gave the rest of your minions cost 0 in your deck. Like, these were all things that were permanently affected once the quest was completed. And I know this is a side quest, but, like, historically, like, things like Galvadon was just awful. Like, it was a rough quest to put together, and then the reward was awful.
I think you're, like, touching around the point that I want to make, okay, which is having a reward be a minion sucks.
Yes, 100%.
Like, the Draconic Mage quest thing, 10 mana on spells or whatever, and you get a 6-6, that sucks. Because you have to play it, you have to spend 10 mana on spells, and then you have to wait a turn before you can actually attack with the goddamn thing. All of the quests from Un'Goro, Barnabas, Carnassus, the Shaman one, I can't even remember,
Megafin, yeah, it filled up.
Yeah, Megafin, the Warlock quest, like anything that required you to play a card after, play a minion after you got it, absolutely sucked. Mm-hmm. The fact that the rogue quest was a spell is what made it playable. Mm-hmm. You know, it may have been playable even if it was a minion, because I remember that being like a suggestion for a nerf, because prepping it out was absolutely disgusting. But the point is, when you're having so much power loaded into minion stats as opposed to the actual effect, it's trash. It's absolutely trash.
Well, so here's my point. I agree with you, but at least the majority of those minions did something for the rest of the game. It was Galvadon that was particularly egregious, where all it was a minion that adapts 5 times.
Yeah, but the two quests that saw the most play was Quest Rogue, which was the spell that made all your minions just stronger, and Quest Mage. Warrior.
Oh.
Mage saw, like, intermittent play. It wasn't consistent. Yeah. But Quest Warrior was pretty consistent throughout its lifetime. And that because it gave you a weapon that you could swing with right away, and a hero power that, like, 8 damage every single turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no RNG of, like, Barnabas, like, you draw all your big minions before you play Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
There's no RNG of like, well, I shuffle 15 Raptors into my deck, but I don't draw any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any board anymore.
Yeah, no, I get you. I'm just saying all these quests, the side quests, and they're supposed to be lesser rewards because they're easier to satisfy. But at the same point in time, there's nothing. It's a quick reward, and the only one that even is remotely useful is Toxic Reinforcements, because it does exactly, like, you're gonna push the hero button anyway, you're gonna hit the hero power button anyways, you're gonna do that, do 2 damage to the face, and for 1 mana you get to deal an additional 6.
Right, and I would say on top of that, the fact that the leper gnomes are dangerous even when they're not attacking.
Yeah.
You know, you have to decide, am I going to take 3 damage for the rest of the game, essentially? Or do I bite the bullet and take 6 now? That's not an easy decision, you know, for every deck. So, you know, that Toxic Reinforcements is summoning minions, but those minions have an immediate, a death rattle effect. So they have an immediate board presence, I guess.
Yeah, you have to make the call. I'm like, can I take the 6 damage, or do I ignore them and do what I'm doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's what it's just, there's nothing, none of the other quests give you anything nearly impactful enough to do anything. And I'm just like, oh, go ahead, Mage.
I was going to say, if we're done talking about the side quests, the question I would have I guess, is the League of Explorer cards were all built around the no duplicates battle cry, mm-hmm. right? The Reno and Bran and all of them. Are they, Highlander decks are typically not as consistent as decks that you run two ofs in, or can run two ofs in. So is it the fact that their decks those classes right now are kind of predicated, they're kind of focused on trying to do the Highlander thing? Or is it because they don't have other minions or something to make up a good deck? Or is it just that Galakrond's way too strong? Or why exactly are these other classes not able to get there, I guess, would be my question.
I think that's a really good point. I think that the only side quest that we got that you could reasonably see play in a Highlander deck was Learn Draconic.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mage has enough spells in the Highlander version to do that anyway. But you look at the Druid ones. Well, first off, getting claws is absolutely terrible, so you don't want to do that. But the... I can't remember what it's called, but the summoning a minion from your deck. Like, if you're playing Highlander, you're going to have a lot of small minions because you need small minions. So pulling one of those out is just absolutely freaking terrible.
And you probably have minions in there for their battle cries, too, and what they do. So you just waste a minion.
Yeah, so that's not very good. Clear the way. You want to be having a lot of rush minions. You can't really get, unless you get the Griffin into Springpaw or the Desert Spear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you get one of those two to go off, that side quest could take ages to go off. And at that point, the 4-4 may not be, useful anymore. The Paladin Sanctuary, don't even start. That's just...
I've never seen it.
I saw it once. I beat him on turn 7 or whatever, and he still didn't. I let it go off on turn 6 or something because it didn't matter at that point. And then the other one that buffs all your minions, you want to have two of those because you want to have that in a swarming deck. You know, a Zulike Paladin. That's not compatible really with the Highlander. So they gave these freaking side quests for the Highlander classes and didn't make them compatible with Highlander decks.
They seem like they'd be fun in the arena.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong? Most of these sound like, oh man, a free 3/6 taunt. I don't have to take damage for a turn. That's pretty sweet. I'm playing in the arena. Spend 10 mana to get a 6/6.
Some of those would be ridiculously overpowered. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it feels like those are arena cards, and they're not in the arena, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think they are.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's they're not... talking about arena, but... What's that?
I wasn't talking about arena, I was saying Highlander.
Oh, no, I know, I'm just saying, I'm making an observation that they'd be fun in the arena, but in a constructed deck, these are why would I ever do this to myself?
Yeah.
So it just feels bad, and it's 100% Galakrond is way better than anything that those classes got. Highlander decks, it's sad when the Galakrond Rogue can run Highlander better than any of the decks that have real specific, because that they can use all the same tools as Galakrond Rogue. They, you know, you get Bran, you get Reno, I guess Elise, and
I discovered through Dragon's Horde Dino Tamer Bran when I was playing Highlander Rogue.
I did that too, the priest,
got it down during with a Spirit of the Shark as well. So I got two King Crushes in the same turn. So yeah, it does feel like. it also just feels like the one-ofs on, in some of these other classes, even in the Galakrond classes. It's like Flick Skyshift is something that any class would use, right? And and it just happens to be that Rogue is the one that has it. And so it just and you can only run one of those anyway. So it's just like, and then like Dragon's Horde is another card that if you could just randomly get a really powerful legendary from another class, pretty much any Highlander deck would run that, run something like that. But
yeah,
it's to a League of Evil as well. I mean, it's like there's not enough. So even though the idea was that those classes are building around the idea of a Highlander or no duplicates, it's like they weren't given quite enough tools to be able to be to fully support it. Whereas it almost feels like between the confluence of the cards they've gotten over the last five sets and as well as the classic set as well, because you got to keep the classic and basic set in mind as well, that you know, some of the League of Evil can do that. I mean, people were running Warrior before Descent of Dragons came out as Highlander, because there was enough Warrior cards and neutral cards that you know, you could run a Highlander version and it would run pretty well.
And it was at least second best Highlander deck. I'm not sure if it was first or second, but it was definitely up there with Hunter. I mean, Highlander Druid has never been a thing. You only played Elise because of Nourish drawing like three cards.
Yeah, before exactly. Mana. You're going to draw your deck out quick enough that Elise can be impactful.
Yeah, Rito Mage never saw any play after the nerfs to Pocket Galaxy. Highlander Paladin saw like sporadic play, but was never like top tier. So I don't know. I think it blows my mind.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I got to Shadow Step Dino Tamer Bran today.
You guys are evil.
He had an opportunity to kill Dino Tamer Bran and chose what to go face. He deserved
that's on him.
so my last question was do the League of Explorers need their own hero card?
Yeah.
Like Galakrond? In order they need to be something able to actually compete in this meta,
or another Highlander card. They need something that they can that fits into an existing archetype that, you know, kind of pushes it over the edge. My concern is that Blizzard cannot balance small expansions.
No, they can't.
Naxxramas was not balanced. Blackrock Mountain was not balanced. A lot of people love the League of Explorers, but that introduced Reno and Finley and Tunnotrog and Bran, and those were not balanced. And then the two mini updates we've had this year were not balanced. So I have high concern going into the extra cards being added.
Yeah, it's more like 4 weeks away from Galakrond's Awakening, which is the single player content that's supposed to give us that 135 cards.
Oh, it's 35.
Unless they get hero cards that say
Battle I think you Cry said 135.
35?
Yeah, I think you said 135.
I didn't mean 135. I thought I said 35.
Yes. Yeah,
35. Maybe I misheard you, but 35 cards.
Sorry, I was speaking over you guys. I got like halfway through my thought and I realized someone else was talking. I was going to say, yeah, unless you get a card, you know, cards in there that say Battlecry Destroy Galakrond.
Yeah, that we need Sacrificial Pact for Galakrond, right?
Yes.
So that Zephyrus can find it and then...
Zephyrus wouldn't be able to find it.
I know, but they'd make an exception or something, right?
Added it to the classic set for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Destroy Galakrond. What? Why is this a classic card? Don't worry about it. It costs zero mana too, by the way.
And you gain five health.
Draxxus! Okay. All right, so that's going to do it. So, Mage, you want to read this week's poll question?
Sure. So now that we're couple weeks out since the balance changes. We want to know how you're feeling about the meta since those balance changes have gone into effect. Is the meta great, good, not good, or bad? Let us know what you think. Vote and tell us how you're feeling about the meta, and we will talk about the responses on next week's show.
Excellent. So you can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS. Top pinned tweet will link you to the Dr3 Discord. You can email the show at Dr3HS@gmail.com. Please feel free to go to iTunes, leave us a review, let us know what you think we're doing, all that kind of jazz. And you can find me on Twitter at Daring Outline. Nicolaus?
On Twitter at Nicolaus123.
And Mage.
On Twitter at Mage of Death. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Mage of Death. And I just want to say, Nicolaus, get better. He's been a trooper. He's been sick, and it's been terrible. It's been terrible, man. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you for doing it this week. We appreciate it. We hope you feel better for next week's episode.
Yeah, good way to end the year with a cold or whatever the heck this is.
At least it's not strep throat. I was going to be going to a New Year's Eve party, but the host got strep throat. So,
Oh boy.
So, needless to say, I'm not going anywhere tonight. So, all right, guys. So, as always, you've been listening to Dr. 3.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.